Hey, this is Chris Brown, and this episode is brought to you by Vanderblumen, the search group who helps churches and ministries build great teams through their innovative pastor search and church staffing process. Visit westaffthechurch.com to learn more.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, my friends. I'd like to give you a sincere welcome to today's broadcast. I know that today the Lord has put something on my heart that will really help us in our stewardship journey. And if you're new to this whole stewardship idea, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory. Today we're going to be talking about something most of us need a lot of help with, something that's needed on the roadways. What am I talking about? Needed in airports. Needed in restaurants. It's needed in car lines. Have you been able to guess yet? Also needed in our stewardship journeys and our relationships. What is it? Today we're going to discuss. You're probably like, Chris, get to it, right? Well, you need to be patient because that's what we're talking about. We are discussing patience. The quality that you admire in that driver behind you, but you despise in the driver in front of you. Have you ever thought of it that way? You admire it behind you, but that driver in front of you, you're like, don't be so patient. We all admire it. We all want it, but we just want it right now. We're not being patient about it. Oh, it's crazy. Now, normally on this show, we take your calls, but today we're not having a call-in show. All of you listening in know that we love getting your calls whenever you call in. And if you get the voicemail, please leave us a short message. We want to hear from you. The number to call into is 866-357-3283, or you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. The number and email again, 866-357-3283. And the email address is chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. I'm begging you, please give our team a chance to help you in whatever situation that life finds you. And don't just call in with your questions. You cannot overestimate how encouraging your stewardship testimonies are. Keep calling with those comments, the encouraging testimonies about what God's doing in your life, and really as a result of these true stewardship decisions in your life. So keep doing that for sure. Like I said at the beginning of the broadcast, today's show is devoted to patience. Have you ever found yourself praying to God, asking for patience, but asking Him to hurry? That's how we pray, isn't it? We want patience, but we want it quickly. Well, I find myself often answering your calls with not only the financial or the mathematical answer, but also the reminder for you, the reminder for me, even as I say it, that the Bible repeatedly tells us to be patient. We don't need to sit back and be lazy in the name of I'm waiting on God, but we do need to realize that His timing it's not our timing. His ways are not our ways. I often share verses that remind us of this truth, but today we're going to look at some biblical stories that will not only tell us to be more patient, but will also show us what it looks like to be more biblically patient. So as we dive into some of these biblical stories, I feel like we've got to start with Job, the ultimate portrait of patience. The best known story of patience in the Bible is the life of Job. To prove Job's faithfulness to the Lord, God allowed the devil to destroy everything Job owned. And we think we have it rough, right? Everything. And of course, we know he didn't own it. But from an earthly perspective, everything that he, quote, owned. Now, before this, Job was absolutely loaded, very wealthy. But he lost his crops, he lost his property, he lost his cattle, lost his servants. How would we handle that? Could you even imagine what that would look like? What would that be like? But Job's story doesn't end there. Actually, it's just getting started. The most crippling loss that he experienced was the loss of his children. Many of us would respond with, "Why me? Why me, God?" Wouldn't we? But Job didn't say that. Job did not place blame on God. He simply accepted that God had a plan and would be, get this, patient for God to reveal his plan. What? Really? Patient for God to reveal his plan? Lost his kids. How difficult did that have to be? And put yourself there. How patient would you be? I know I get impatient when I can't even get Wi-Fi in less than 1 second, right? That happened to me today. That happened to me like 10 minutes ago. Or when my glass gets empty when I'm at a restaurant. It's like this subtle, sneaky entitlement, isn't it? Or when I have to wait a few minutes in the fast food line, right? But to be Job, we don't even understand this kind of patience. I know last night my kids were all pounding their food as I started our prayer for dinner. They, and maybe dad too, couldn't even wait 2 minutes to put some food in our mouth before we prayed. Boy, do we need to latch on to this idea of biblical patience. So then Job's friends enter the scene. They come to give him a little counsel. They automatically thought all this opposition in Job's life was due to a certain sin he had in his life. They work hard to find out what detestable sin, exactly which sin was it that Job had done to deserve all this punishment. But Job would not give in to that kind of thinking. He knew that sometimes in life, bad things, they just happen to good people. That's about all he knew. He didn't have all the answers. But he knew enough to be patient. And he knew that he wasn't God. He knew God had a plan and was willing to accept what God allowed in his life. And in the end, after modeling biblical patience, we see in Job 42:10 that God restored to Job twice as much as he had in the beginning. Folks, I don't know what you're going through today. But the Bible is clear in Galatians 6:9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we keep sowing the right things, we will reap the right things. We just need to be patient. The people we admire the most likely model patience regularly. Think about it. List them down on a piece of paper. I'm telling you, the people you admire the most. Those of you who are single, the epic theologian Will Ferrell once said, before you marry a person, you should first make them use a computer with slow internet service to see who they really are. Isn't that true? You can tell a lot about a person, and I'm just kidding. I know he's not the perfect theologian. That was a joke, but there's a lot of wisdom in that. How do people handle when they don't get what they want when they want it?
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
I know firsthand the passion the Vanderblumen Search Group has for helping churches and faith-based organizations find their key staff, since they actually connected Ramsey Solutions with me. If your church is looking for its pastor or any key staff member, reach out to Vanderblumen at westaffthechurch.com. They're the leading search firm for churches and faith-based organizations of all sizes and can help find the right candidates that fit your church's unique needs. Find out more at westaffthechurch.com. Well, if you're just joining us, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and today we're talking about biblical accounts of patience. We looked at a flyover of Job's life, and now we look at another biblical account from the Patience Hall of Fame, if you will. Who's it going to be? Abraham. The father of many nations. Just the very nickname of father of many nations. Guess what, folks? It screams patience by itself louder than anything else. Why? Why would the nickname father of nations scream patience so effectively? Check this out. Because when that nickname was given, God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. But when the promise was first given, Genesis 12, 1 through 3, Abraham and his wife Sarah didn't even have any children. Like my friends in Dallas, they got 11 kids or something like that, right? But zero children? What? God didn't just say it once either. He continued to restate his promise to Abraham through the years. Genesis 13, 13:6, Genesis 15, 1 through 6, Genesis 17, again in Genesis 18, verse 10. So years and years and years and years of being like, what's up, God? What? I mean, you called us this. This is our nickname. Years of showing a ton of patience. And when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90 years old, God gave them one son. Gave them their son Isaac. Here's what I feel like God wants us to hear today, folks. Though it took years of patiently waiting, they received the promise of God. Hebrews 6:15 says of Abraham, "And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." Patience. What about Joseph? Joseph, patience painted in the form of a pit, then a prison, then a palace. We see in Genesis 37, 27, and 28 that Joseph's brother sold him as a slave. Again, this puts a lot of our adversity that we experience here in the Western world into some perspective. If you're not familiar with this story, it's crucial for us to understand that Joseph did not understand all that was happening or why when he was going through it. Remember that as we discuss this unfolding of this journey, that he didn't know what was going on. We do. We look on the story and we can see it from 30,000 feet, but he didn't. Some of you are right there right now. You feel like you're in the pit of despair, or that you're enslaved to a situation and you don't know what God is doing and you don't know the why. Although Joseph didn't understand all that was happening, he trusted God to work out his plan in his time. We have to have faith and not be controlled by fear. I'm sure Joseph had bouts with fear, but faith prevailed. He had bouts with fear, but faith prevailed. We can have bouts with fear, but faith must prevail. Joseph patiently worked faithfully in each situation he was in. He waited for God to fulfill his promise that Joseph would be a leader of his people. Genesis 37, 5 through 11. And so far, things were not matching up, but he had to be patient. He believed God, but he was probably wondering why he was finding himself in prison. But check this out. God did indeed fulfill his promise by lifting Joseph to great influence and impact, not only for his people, but over the people of Egypt too. Patience was key in this progression, folks. Think about the power in Joseph's story. If he would have just become the man one day out of nowhere, oh, you're the man. Millions of Christ followers like you and I all over the globe for thousands of years would not have been as impacted as we are by his story and his God experience. I know we experience a lot of less than ideal circumstances, but it's really important for us to realize having a story like Joseph's means you have to have a story like Joseph's. Having a testimony is great, but it sure is excruciating acquiring one, isn't it? Well, folks, this whole idea of stewardship is that we manage everything that God has given us his way and for his glory. When we get how important that is, we have to pay attention to what the Bible says in Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. I know we all have great intentions for how we save, how we spend, how we give money, but without a plan, it's way too easy to be unwise stewards. To help you take the first step towards following that plan, we created the Starter Special that teaches you the best way to get out of debt and how to win with money through budgeting, through investing, through savings. The special includes some of our best resources like Dave Ramsey's Total Money Makeover book, 13 audio lessons on how to handle your money. And if you're ready to better steward your money, check out the Starter Special for just $42 today only at stewardship.com by clicking on store.
Thank you for being with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now let's get back to Chris.
We're talking all about patience today. And so far, we've looked into the life of Job, we've looked into the life of Abraham and Joseph. My prayer is that these biblical accounts are giving us perspective in regards to what we're currently going through in our stewardship journey, better than what's on the TV late at night, that this would give us some real perspective. I know God's really talking to me. So who's another good example of patience that we can find in the Bible? You got some in your mind? Who do you think? How about Jesus? How about Jesus himself? Of course, we see patience throughout the entire ministry, but Hebrews 12 says of Jesus' death on the cross that it was something he endured. Something he endured. His death on the cross was obviously for our salvation, but the Bible also says his death is an example for our lives. This endurance. When we're worn down during our daily task, we're reminded in Hebrews 12, 2 and 3, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Think about it, folks. Jesus' whole life can be themed patience. Can you imagine how frustrating it had to be Jesus? Knowing that he could take care of the entire saving the world in a very much quicker fashion. I mean, he knew his fate and he knew the plan, but folks, he had to wait 33 years to do what he could have done in an instant right after birth. Have you ever thought that through? Jesus could have been born and died and rose again all in the same day. Why didn't he? Friends, because the process matters. Our lives are not about the pit or the palace, but the process. Jesus had to live 33 years with us mere mortals while probably shaking his head constantly, rolling his eyes at our finite capacity. Before Jesus arrived at the cross, he patiently and thoroughly trained the disciples. And even after his miracles and making it crystal clear that he was indeed the Son of God, the disciples were still repeatedly confused about who Jesus really was. And every time I want to make fun of the disciples, folks, or be disappointed in their level of faith, I am reminded of how we do the same thing. Our finite minds have such a hard time grasping who Jesus really is. In another sense, as we read the scriptures, we often think of the disciples as being rock star men of faith. But as we read through the gospel accounts, Jesus was still trying to teach them how to persevere in prayer, up until the moment he was taken to be crucified. So what can we take away from all of this today, looking at these folks from the Bible? Friends, whatever the assignment is that God has called you to, we need to remain faithful, putting in the energy, even if we don't see the progress we'd like to see. Got to put forth the effort. And Jesus was probably not seeing the exponential progress he wanted to see in the disciples, but he just kept on and kept on pouring himself out into his disciples until the very end. Such an awesome standard for us. So where do you need a healthy dose of patience? Better yet, a good question is to ask why. Why am I impatient? Those moments of impatience, why? Are you impatient with others? It's a good time for reflection for us. Are we impatient with ourselves? Are you impatient with results, either at work or maybe with your kids, or maybe it's with your goals? Are you impatient with progress? We have to know the why. Why are you impatient? And whether you're impatient with the situation or maybe another person or yourself, we have to know the why behind why we're impatient. For example, are you impatient because you have absolutely no margin in your life? A lot of the folks that I know that struggle with this, with the impatience, it's because they are absolutely loaded in their schedule. They have no margin in their life. When I say margin, I mean space. Is your life so crammed that you have to get to your next destination in 12 minutes? And if it goes 13, 14, 15, if that car pulls out in front of you a little too slow, you are freaking out. I remember we had Lisa Turkhurst here on the show, and she said that the way she schedules her day is if a meeting's going to take 45 minutes, she puts it in as an hour. She wants to make sure she has a 15-minute buffer where she can just be present, where she can actually look people in the eyes and have some space and some margin in her life. Very good advice. But are you too crammed? What in your life has to be cut? What in your life is not adding to your bottom line? When I'm talking about your bottom line, I'm talking about the vision that you have for your life, the vision you have for those of you who are married, the vision you have for your family, the goals that you have, your values as a family. What's not contributing to those values? And maybe the most spiritual thing you can do today is to cut 10 or 20% of the busyness out of your life. Extreme busyness is not a badge of honor, but a code red. Are you possibly impatient emotionally because you're emotionally spent already? What is it that's zapping you of so much emotional bandwidth? Who or what deserves that much control in your life? If something or someone has that much control in your life, then I recommend putting together a plan to loose up that bondage that they have on you. If it's money, obviously the financial peace plan will work. If it's a job, it's putting yourself in a financial and professional position where you have several options. If it's a friend or a family member, perhaps you're a little too codependent on them. Maybe a healthy conversation's in order. Nobody should have that much control in your lives. We live for Jesus and we submit to our spouses. But other than that, we have a mandate to radiate the love of Jesus and to bear fruit, but not have them control our emotions. And maybe you think that you have a problem with patience because you're just annoyed. Maybe it's somebody or a situation that just annoys you. It's not really an impatience issue. Maybe you're just annoyed, and that's fueling the impatience. There are some things that we've got to do in our lives, folks, to be able to pinpoint the why behind our impatience. But folks, please hear this. I wanted to make sure that we covered this as a community. And we really called it out. Behind each one of our spats, our intense fellowships with other people, a lot of it has to do with impatience. And even behind that, it's a lack of grace for each other. It's a false expectation that we're all perfect and we're not. And a lot of times it is having the patience, having the margin in our bandwidth, in our emotional bandwidth, to be able to extend the grace to others that we've received from Christ. To extend the grace to others that we wish and that we hope that people would extend to us. A lot of times we judge others by their reality, but we judge ourselves based on our intentions. So let me just wrap this up for us and pray. We need some help in this area. And some of you struggle with this a little bit more than others, but we need to stay ambitious going after making a difference in our lives while making sure that ambition doesn't take over us, but we still have margin in our lives. A very fine line, but we got to ask God for guidance. God, we come to you right now. We're asking just for that. We're asking for your guidance, your wisdom, your strength, your courage. We've dove into your concept of patience today, and it's so important in our lives. We just want the courage, God, the courage to be able to implement whatever you spoke into our hearts, because we ultimately want to manage this life your way and for your glory. Amen. Well, folks, it has been a pleasure today. I hope that spoke to you in a powerful way. Remember, if you're ready to take your first steps to winning with money, check out that starter special, just $42 today only at stewardship.com by clicking on store. God bless you.